This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
I'd just like to start by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land that we meet here today. It was wonderful to listen to an insider's perspective of the scientific work carried out by the expedition just previously given by Ray, especially as he was leading into a discussion and talking about the big questions that he had in his mind when he was travelling through Arnhem Land. And you get to think about and start to think about that idea of the thinking of his ecological framework of how he sees place, how he sees landscape. So now my paper is going to focus on is I'm going to explore the botanical work of the expedition from a dual perspective, the practical nature of undertaking this botanical work in a tropical environment and the creation of an extensive botanical collection and ecological surveys in Arnhem Land. SPECT was required to negotiate landscapes that were familiar in principle and yet at the same time foreign to a plant ecologist from southern Australia. And I'll start with a quote, which really reflects the essence, I guess, of what I want to discuss today. And this is a reminiscing from Raymond Speck's oral history. It was interesting to land on Darwin Aerodrome because the tips of the wings of the aeroplane were touching this small grass as we landed. Interesting to an ecologist of southern Australia, where nothing grows more than about a foot or two. To set the scene, I will provide an overview of the expedition, positioning the botanical work within the context of the development of an important discipline in ecology, that is plant ecology. And this talk would largely draw on oral history recordings, memories and conversations that I've had with Ray, visiting him up in Brisbane, letters, diary entries and fieldwork that was done on the expedition. And I will discuss the idea of place being central to the work of the botanist, finishing with a discussion on the significance of these Arnhem Land botanical collections. To begin with, I will set a brief discussion on the development of the discipline of ecology. Ecology has been described as a science of holism, an integrative science linking knowledge about the physical world with the study of living things. Complexity, diversity, and a lack of unity has characterised ecological theory and practice since the discipline emerged in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. But during the 20th century, the discipline began to address broader questions about the relationships of living things to their environment. Field studies were seen as essential, and early ecologists generally followed a holistic philosophy in the study of these landscapes. Trends in the development of ecology in American, British and Australian contexts are pertinent to understanding the approach and techniques used by Raymond Specht in his expedition fieldwork. Frederick Clements forged the discipline of ecology in the United States in the 19th century with an attention to the development of the concept of a plant community as both a dynamic and complex entity interacting with its environment. British thinking on the discipline began with regional surveys of plants in the landscape, creating a very systematic view. And this was further developed towards focusing on understandings and patterns between different plant communities, akin to the American concept of a dynamic community in space. Ecology in Australia was influenced by American and British thinking, and it emerged as a discipline in Australia in the 1920s. It was regarded as a science of exploration, a key to understanding new lands, and I think this has resonance to the unfolding work of the botanist up in Arnhem Land. The botany department at the University of Adelaide played a leading role in the development of plant ecology research, particularly focusing on interactions of plant communities with the environment. And as we heard from Ray yesterday in his discussions with Martin, Head of Department Professor Joseph Wood encouraged his staff and students to develop experimental research on the taxonomy, ecology and distribution patterns of plant communities. This approach to ecological studies was instilled in Raymond Specht as a student in that department, leading to his lifetime study and interest, as we heard in the paper just passed, in the structure, growth and biodiversity of ecosystems and understanding these landscapes. His experience as a field ecologist in southern Australia provided Specht with method and technique to draw upon in the near future when he was to join the Arnhem Land expedition. Now, Specht's work on the expedition, and we'll look at the botanical collections and ecological surveys, The expedition, as we've heard over the last few days, has brought together a diverse group of scientists. And Charles Mountford reported, "No previous scientific expedition in Australia has covered so many interlocking fields of natural history, medical science and ethnology." Overall, the aims of the expedition have been discussed previously in papers, but to this end, the expedition brief, as interpreted by SPECT, was an opportunity not only to collect botanical specimens, but also conduct ecological studies and plant surveys of locations across Arnhem Land. The expedition camps, Groot, Yirrkala and Oenpelli, were located in different types of landscapes, and this was to maximise the diversity of scientific findings. Work for the botanist and other naturalists began after arriving shortly in Darwin. During a 10-day delay, before heading off to Groot, the first base camp, there was sampling of scientific specimens along the seacoast and rainforest communities. Then at the first base camp, Speck collected and surveyed plants around Umbacumba, and he also had the opportunity to spend 21 days on Bickerton Island, west of Groot, to survey and collect specimens from mangrove swamps, eucalypt forests, black soil plains and rocky tablelands. More than 200 plant specimens were collected, and if you multiply that by 10, because there were replicates of 10 for each set. A number of these collected here were newly discovered species, collected from Rocky Gorge and Sandstone Hill country. At Yirrkala, another 288 specimens collected from along the coast, freshwater billabongs, eucalypt forests, again were added to the botanist's collection. However, it was Oenpelli, Gumbalanya, the final base camp, where botanical work proved to be of most interest. Charles Mountford sent a telegram to the Department of Information stating, "Expect Oenpelli to be rich field for all branches of scientific work for expedition. Stop. Rugged interior holds many rare specimens, birds, animals, plants." Speck collected a diverse array of plants, including species of wild rice, pandanus, grasses, sedgelands, water lilies, freshwater algae, and more newly discovered species, especially the leeches he referred to when collecting those freshwater algae. There are also plant specimens that had been collected previously from sites in eastern Arnhem, found again growing in western Arnhem Land, but in different environmental settings, largely the remote sandstone country around Oenpelli. The sandstone flora was also rich in undescribed species. A letter written by Specht to his family back in Adelaide while on the expedition shows his excitement and enthusiasm for his fieldwork. He writes, "This morning, Bert Degnan and I are leaving for a desiccated waterfall 4 miles away in the sandstone escarpment. We shall spend 4 days there collecting the sandstone flora and birds. From all accounts, it is a very beautiful and majestic place." These observations provided an opportunity for Specht to begin thinking about another dimension to plant ecology, which Raymond alluded on in his presentation this morning, the history of changes in composition and distribution of Arnhem Land plant communities over time and space. Travelling as a botanist on the expedition was Raymond Speck's first visit to Northern Australia. Drawing on previous experience of a southern plant ecologist, practical preparations for a field botanist and the business of collecting plants included a few important items, which we've heard: mountains of newspapers, plant presses, secateur, compass, notebook, axe, camera and a backpack. For the Arnhem Land expedition, Speck's brother, an apprentice sheet metal worker, provided 12 sets of galvanised steel plant presses. Refrigerator trays were used, as they were the same size as a folded broadsheet of the Adelaide Advertiser. When I asked Ray about a typical day for the expedition botanist on my very first visit to meet him in Brisbane a few years ago, he was quick to note it was the humidity and heat that was trying. The botanist commenced work before breakfast, checking and drying plant specimens previously collected. Then with axe over one shoulder, backpack over the other, he would head out to collect 5 new specimens or so before lunch. Where possible, the whole of the plant was collected, including the flowers, leaves, fruits and bark. After a short siesta in the afternoon, another few specimens were collected before dinner. Considering the requirement for 10 sets of each plant specimen, 100 specimens per day for processing was not an unusual thing. Evenings were for pressing and drying the ever-increasing botanical collection. Bessie Mountford would often help Speck change the papers of drying plants, as Ray recalled yesterday. writing about this in her diaries. Bill Harney had been helping, but tonight went to the mission for a couple of hours. I went to Ray's rescue. He was almost snowed in under piles of dried and drying botanical specimens. Ray is, like the rest of the naturalists, hard at it, morning, noon, afternoon and night. It must have been well after 10 p.m. before he finished. And I just want to put this slide in because we hear that Ray worked tirelessly in the field, but he did have some time to stop during the day at some point when he wasn't collecting plants. As Specht was to discover, there were some added challenges for botanists working in the tropics. Mangroves and rainforest plants took longer to dry, coupled with an additional problem of leaves and flowers breaking off from stems. Not experienced in collecting these types of plants from the field, prior to leaving Adelaide, Raymond spent some time at the Queensland Herbarium in Brisbane, becoming acquainted with collection techniques and drying methods for tropical plants, ensuring that a respectable herbarium specimen could be collected. With each day of collecting, it became a necessity to counter the longer drying times, as there was a steady growing mountain of plants needing to be pressed. Raymond and his brother displayed ingenuity of thought, devising a mechanism to assist with the drying. An oven was constructed, a tank encased by a water jacket. Plants were put inside and the oven placed over the campfire. Drying time was significantly reduced from 10 to 15 days down to 3 to 4 on average for specimens. Here we see how modifications in the processing and management of a growing botanical collection of tropical plants was integrated into the daily practice of the expedition botanist. This was part of this challenge for Specht, working in a landscape and with tropical species unlike any he had encountered before. Raymond was very diligent in recording information for each plant collected, 13,500 in total. Every detail was needed, for as Specht recalled, people might never have seen things before. He worked tirelessly in the field with a quiet persistence and continued interest in his chosen career that was most commendable, writes Bessie in her diary. 42 crates of specimens were marked for transport from Darwin to the Queensland Botanic Gardens in Brisbane at the close of the expedition. The collection was deposited in the Queensland Herbarium, and replicates were sent around the nation to herbariums and also overseas to England, the Netherlands, Massachusetts and Washington DC. With the assistance of a number of overseas and Australian botanists, identification of all the plant specimens was completed. Now, I just want to talk a little bit now about capturing the complexity, diversity and variability of landscapes and ecology that we find in Arnhem Land that Raymond Specht was travelling through when he was on the expedition. The idea of place is central to Raymond Specht's work on the expedition. It has been proposed that three conditions contribute to an idea of place: geographic location, physicality and investment with meaning and value. These factors are demonstrated in Specht's holistic approach to understanding the landscape, resulting in the creation of ecological surveys and vegetation maps of numerous study sites from each expedition base camp. In two examples of letters that Specht writes again home to his family, he describes places in Arnhem Land where he is working, locating them geographically and through description and keen observation, and that thinking of that ecological perspective communicates the physicality of these landscapes in northern Australia. And I'd just like to show you a few of these excerpts from letters. The first is travelling across Arnhem Land from Darwin over to Groote. And he writes, "The Arnhem Land scarp was the most interesting part. Huge, desolate crags, grand and beautiful in the early morning sunlight. Vegetation was confined to isolated cracks and crevices in which soil had collected. I am looking forward to visiting this country from Oompelli. Then about 60 to 80 miles, we flew over the backbone of Arnhem Land. This country is like Darwin, with stringy barks, woolly butts and bloodwoods, red ironstone soil, but not very much speargrass. A few wet swamps and streams look remarkably green from the air. And finally, Blue Mud Bay. I often wondered why they dotted the coastline here," and he says in brackets, "on the maps. But now I know. This is a vast area of saltwater swamps, behind, of course, the sea here that is a real blue mud." Raymond Specht makes sense of the landscape unfolding below, taking a holistic overview of the dynamics of the landscape, drawing on that foundation of training in plan ecological work from Adelaide University, seeing the vegetation, the climate, the topography and the soil together creating a dynamic ecology. On Groot Island, he writes again, the walk back to Umbacumba from the mission was very interesting. I had no real idea of the geography of Groot before then. The majority of the island is a heavily dissected sandstone plateau with central hills sticking out above the surface. Again, we see how Speck's reading of place was informed by taking this holistic approach to the field, recording accurate and detailed observations of complex Arnhem Land environments. Raymond Speck's letters describing the landscape in which he is working suggests an increasing familiarity with Arnhem Land through an active engagement with this place. And I'd just like to finish up now talking a little bit about, in generally, the legacy of the botanical collections and the ecological surveys. The botanical work from the expedition as a collection is of national and international significance. The composition is a diverse, rich assemblage of Arnhem Land flora, including newly discovered species and varieties of plants. The collection contributes to both ecological and also cultural knowledge of Arnhem Land flora. 60 years on and since the expedition, scientific research continues into the understandings of the ecological workings of the tropical north. Raymond Speck's work has been referred to as the earliest comprehensive description of flora from Arnhem Land, providing a valuable resource for continuing research across northern Australia. And that includes extensive surveys of plant communities, fire management and biodiversity, and vegetation mapping projects. From the entire collection, over 105 species and varieties of plants were also identified for those cultural uses. Individual specimens from the collection have been reviewed, reclassified, and in some instances renamed as research in the discipline of botany and taxonomy progresses. Some herbarium specimens now carry additional labels and annotations as different botanists work still with this collection from 1948. When I was visiting in the Queensland Herbarium, I noted the newly discovered plant species from 1948, largely from the Bickerton area and Owenpelly, the majority of which are known as type specimens because they were first described and named, are stored in a fire and bomb-proof room within the main herbarium holdings. This is testimony to the national significance of this botanical collection, ensuring secure storage and access for researchers for many years to come. And while I was there, quite a few researchers, when they saw me looking at the Speck collections, and I just said that I'd been chatting to Raymond over a cup of tea, were very excited, and they're all students of Raymond Speck's. For Ray Speck, the role of botanist on the Arnhem Land expedition was an exciting and challenging prospect. A comprehensive botanical collection of 13,500 specimens and ecological surveys and maps provided the groundwork for continuing investigations into the ecology of Arnhem Land. Raymond was required to negotiate landscapes that were familiar in principle and yet at the same time foreign to a plant ecologist from southern Australia. As illustrated by his work, we see how Specht had to actively adapt to and translate his field skills and knowledge when working in northern Australia. Raymond Specht's reading of landscape was informed by taking a holistic approach to his fieldwork, recording accurate and detailed observations of these complex Arnhem Land environments. And indeed, as in Ray's words, the exciting thing was the landscape. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lynn, and I think you've delighted Ray as well as the rest of us. That was really informative and a great follow-on from Ray and Gifford before him. Now we have time for a couple of questions. Identify yourself. I've only said that twice.
Louise Hamby from ANU. Thank you, Lynn. I'm sure either you or Professor Speck can answer this question. You did mention type specimens, and I was curious to know, are all of the what you're calling type specimens in one place, or are they spread in different institutions?
and I'll let Ray jump in if you'd like to, but the type specimens are the specimens that were first collected, discovered and named on the 1948 Arnhem Land Expedition, and 10 replicates were collected in 10 sets of herbarium, complete sets of herbarium, and they were distributed to the national and international herbarium collections. Is that right, Ray?
The designation type specimen is out of the 10 are collected. One had to be donated as the type. Now, the Queensland Herbarium had been working right across the tropics into New Guinea, Solomon Islands, and with the Flora Milesiana project across Indonesia, etc. And although there was a tremendous amount of material that had been collected in Melbourne at the University, at the Melbourne Herbarium and the Botanic Gardens by Ferdinand von Müller and others, it was logical to put the first number, called the type, in the Queensland Herbarium. The others are called, other nine specimens are called co-types, and they should have been labelled at that. But anyhow, and then these specimens, new specimens and varieties, had to be described and not just given a name, like a botanical name, but had to be described detailed in English, as I tried to get all the details of colour and things like that, of leaves and petals, etc. It also then had to be translated into Latin. Of course, I had 5 years of Latin, one of the top scholars in matriculation, so that wasn't so hard. And then I had to get illustrations, black and white illustrations with great detail. And as it happened, the secretary of the botany department in the University of Adelaide, she was studying art, and Alison Coldrake, Alison Murdoch, that way, she did the illustrations, and they're now, the originals are now in the National Library. So it was a major effort. And then, of course, I had to find a name for these things. Usually I was trying to get a Latin name, but Acacia Mountfordii. I was named, requested to name after Mrs. Mountford. Mm. I talked about that yesterday.
Helen Dauncey. Look, just a question. It strikes me that it must have been terribly difficult to keep track of all of these. All different stages of drying, 10 specimens of each. Could you just run through briefly how you managed to get the right names with the right spot specimens?
That's for you, Ray.
I presume in my notebooks I had to... I was collecting 10 specimens, bark specimens and everything else for trees and heights and photographs with that camera, etc. And I'd have to put a merchandise tag, a little label, onto one of the sets, and dump them all into a bag, a hessian bag, I suppose. I can't remember now, and lug them back to the place. But I'd have to record all the details, of colour and things like that, height, thickness of bark and such forth. Mm. All that had to go in a notebook, as well as the location and if possibly the soils, because I was doing collection soils from CSIRO Soils Division, going to analyse such, etc.
And you could,
that wood one... samples for the CSIRO forest products.
Mm. And those wonderful records of the expedition notebooks are in the National Library collection. So that's another avenue to do some work on that, which I'll be doing in future.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.